Hi, welcome to the Sage's Cabin podcast. I'm your host, Rox Madeira. So grab a cup of tea and come and join me in the Sage's Cabin as we chat about everything from herbal gardening, herbal medicine, movement practices, wild food, postnatal and just general well-being. So I've had a bit of a break from podcasting as I was busy having a baby. But now I am back and I've got some interesting podcasts for you. So this podcast is with the wonderful Cammy McBride. Cammy is the author of The Herbal Kitchen and she's got many courses online, including handcrafted healing herbal oils and plant wisdom. And I really recommend her courses if you want to learn some herbal medicine online. She has a wealth of knowledge and years and years of experience. So I really hope that you enjoy this podcast. Hello, hi, welcome to the podcast. I am talking today with Cammy McBride, who's an American herbalist, and I am really excited to talk to you, Cammy. So hi.
Hey, Rox, good to be here. I'm so glad to be here.
So you've got like a whole load of online courses. I don't know if people know much about you or not, but I really like your courses. I find them really accessible. I wonder if you could just kind of just talk about yourself to start with, just introducing yourself and what you, who you are and what you do.
Oh yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah. So my website is cammymcbride.com and that's where I have all the offerings that you're talking about. And I'm going into my 35th year of teaching herbal medicine. And so I really, my interest is really in evolving our culture into one that honors the earth and raises up the next generation so that they know how to take care of themselves and to take care of the earth. And taking care of themselves involves knowing about the plants, right? And knowing how to use the plants in a good way, in a way that also gives back to the earth. And so that's really the mission of what I do. And, you know, herbal medicine can be, right now, there's so much information. It can be daunting and overwhelming. And personally, I think that we are trying to download more information in 1 year than our great grandmothers downloaded in their whole lifetime, right? So what I try to do is really make it simple, keep it simple, and start with what we already have on hand, and that is the herbs and spices in our kitchen. And so I'm really big on helping people understand the medicine that's already in their kitchen, and that is really one of the most simple places to start.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the most easy for people to get their hands on, isn't it, and to kind of start putting into their lives. So how would you recommend people to begin?
Yeah, well, first of all, you learn more about the herbs and spices that you already know and love. Like, you know, when I first started teaching herbal medicine, I was like, oh, I'm going to teach everybody about elderberry, echinacea, all these plants that most people at that time, I mean, 30 years ago, it was a desert. Like, there weren't a lot of people studying herbal medicine. And so I really saw that what people would say to me is like, oh, I don't know anything about herbal medicine. Gosh, I just don't know anything. And then in the next sentence, they'd be like, I love garlic. And oh, I use basil all the time. And I love thyme. And I'm like, oh, okay. We just need to start with where you're at. Start with where you're at. Like, which plants do you already have in your kitchen cupboard? Most people have black pepper and thyme and oregano, maybe even some sage, cinnamon, ginger, right? You start with those and you realize that you think that those herbs are in your cupboard because they're there for flavor, right? The herbal spice rack, the kitchen spice rack is actually a relic of our apothecary. And we think that we have that dill and that thyme in there to flavor, but it's actually not there for flavor. It is there for flavor, but your kitchen herbs are all carminatives. Carminatives and carminative herbs help you to digest your food. And so you really have a massive digestive support apothecary in your kitchen already. We just need to remember what's there and how to use it.
And so what do you think would be the easiest way for people to get started with doing that? Like, do you have recipes or ideas?
Well, one thing, I have my book, The Herbal Kitchen, that has 260 recipes. But the thing is that, you know, like, an herbal kitchen doesn't mean you have to be some great creative chef, you know, and know all the things to do. It's not, it's about having your herbs at the ready. Okay. So what that means is that you have your pantry filled with herb-filled condiments that you already use. Okay. So what I mean by that is most people already use honey. Most people already use butter or olive oil or vinegar, right? We use some sort of fat almost every day, and we use vinegar and honey. And so what you do is you infuse those condiments that we use every day with herbs. So there's very simple recipes in my book, The Herbal Kitchen, for how to make culinary herbal oils, how to make herbal vinegars, how to make herbal honey, how to make herbal salts. We use salt every day. You can have your salt be half dried powdered herb and half salt, and just put it on your table. That's the easiest way to get started, is to just cut your salt. You know, half powdered sage and half salt, or half rosemary, half salt. And so what I really teach is how to infuse all the condiments that you already use with herbs. And then you can just sprinkle and dash and drizzle your way to having more herbs in your food every day.
Yeah, that's what I really like, because it makes it really simple. Because, like, if you're really, you know, really busy mom trying to do lots of things and working as well, it can be really hard to start learning new things and trying to include them in your family's diet and stuff. So being able to just put things on really simply like that, it really makes a difference, I think.
Yeah. So the easiest way for people to start is to put one of those Lazy Susans, you know what I'm talking about? They're like the wooden thing that spin around. And you put a Lazy Susan in this on your table, and you take your herbs and spices out of your spice cabinet and put them on your table. That's the most easy thing to do. So you can buy salt and pepper shakers for really inexpensive, and you put, you know, so again, when your herbs and spices are in the cabinet, you don't use them as much. We want to start using these herbs and spices every day with every meal. That is how to change. That is how you change your health, and that is how you change your kitchen culture. So what you do is you get your salt and pepper shakers, and in one of them you put cinnamon. And so when you eat breakfast, your oatmeal, your pancakes, or whatever like that, you dash cinnamon on it. And one of them you put paprika, and one of them you put cardamom, or whatever your favorite spices are. So when you have your savory meal, you can powder some thyme or some paprika or some cayenne on it. You just have them right on the table. And especially if you have kids in your life, they won't be able to leave that alone, and they'll start dashing. And pretty soon it becomes like fun to garnish your food with the different herbs and spices. And that is how you get your family started, right? Is to just put it on the table and let them kind of play around with different herbal salts, different herbal sprinkles, or just some cinnamon, right? And just see how we can get that more into like our breakfast. And so that is the most easy way to begin with a family when you're busy and you don't have time to make up all the, you know, special things.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you're saying, you know, it was something you don't think about, like, for example, infusing a butter or something and just putting like herbs in with it. But it's quite an easy way as well, isn't it? Because then you can put it on your potatoes or your vegetables or whatever. But I think there's been a bit of a fear about people using things like fats and stuff. So that's maybe changing that mindset as well a little bit.
So we cook with oil. We put butter on our meals. And so you can infuse your fats with herbs, and then use them. So it's like, even, you know, I have several culinary oil recipes in my book, The Herbal Kitchen, and in my course, myherbalkitchen.com. And you can, you know, so just a bowl of rice becomes like gourmet when you have a fat or an oil that's been infused and been infusing with herbal, with herbs for a while. There's just all this flavor that can be added, you know, to your meals. And it just brings your meals to a whole other level, because we want herbs in our meals. See, without the carminatives, our meals are harder to digest. Herbs and spices are the bridge to healthy nutrition. And so having that herbal salt or that herbal sprinkle or that herbal infused oil, you're bringing these carminative spices and herbs to your meals every day at every meal.
Yeah. Do you have one herb or one spice that you like, you particularly like, that's maybe your favorite, that you could maybe talk a little bit more about?
Oh no, favorite. Yeah. Well, for myself, I love cardamom. You know, so that I can put cardamom in yogurt. I can put it on any kind of like, kind of sweet food or breakfast food, and even in rice. And cardamom is just so, it has such a kind of sweet flavor, and it's amazing for digestion. It helps you to digest fat. It helps you with any kind of gas or bloating or digestive upset. It helps you to digest dairy. And so it's really good. Like, I put it in milk, I put it on ice cream, I put it in yogurt, and it's one of the, you know, a lot of people have trouble digesting dairy, and so it's a good one to just put a little bit if you have any dairy. And so I keep cardamom on my kitchen table, and I also keep thyme. I have thyme salt, and so it's one half part, you know, just a really good sea salt or a really healthy mineral rich salt, not the white salt, which is sodium chloride, which is not good for you, but it's a good, you get a good healthy salt. And then you have half of that healthy salt and then half of dried powdered thyme. And so you have a thyme salt, and thyme is so antibacterial, antimicrobial, antiviral. It's just especially with the, you know, flu and virus and all the stuff going around, it's just good to sprinkle on your savory foods. I love it on rice and quinoa, any kind of grain, really. You can sprinkle it on like Italian food. You can sprinkle it into soups and stews. And it's just so versatile of, you know, how many foods it does go with. And so you add that sprinkle of all those antimicrobial properties, and also the enzymes. You know, your herbs have enzymes in them, and they help you to digest your meal. So those are two that I always have on my table.
It's interesting, because I think a lot of people don't really use cardamom very much. It's not like a spice that people often talk about.
Right. Yeah, no, it's not. And it's just one that, like, it's kind of settled as one of my personal favorites, because it's a little bit sweet, you know, and you only need a little bit. And, you know, my family really likes dairy, and I have more of a kapha constitution where I don't do as well as with a lot of dairy. And so if there's something, I will always add a little bit of cardamom to whatever dairy is going on. And it just helps me to digest that food and process that food better.
So you said at the beginning about talking about elderberry and stuff. I just remembered like one of the emails that you've sent out previously in your newsletters and things, and you were saying that you've got like a flu remedy that you go to before you even go to something like elderberry. Do you think you could talk about that?
Yeah, well, I love just elderberry syrup, elderberry tea. That's something that you could do preventively if the flu is going around. And so that's more of like a focused remedy. And the thing is, the reason why I'm so into kitchen medicine, your herbal kitchen, and really fortifying that, is because, again, all the herbs in your spice rack, they support digestion. And where does our immunity begin? Our immunity, 60% of our immunity is in our digestive tract. And so when you start adding all these carminatives and these digestive supporting herbs to your meals every day, you know, you're adding more flavor, you're adding all these antimicrobial properties, but you are nurturing and building your digestive biome. You're supporting your digestive tract, which is the root of your immunity. So people think like, oh, I'm catching a flu or I'm getting something. I need to take my elderberry, my echinacea. That's all really good. But what really fortifies you over time is these carminative digestive supporting herbs that you use every day. Your immune system is in your gut. Okay. So it's like this daily ongoing thing. Your daily interaction with these gut supporting, immune supporting herbs is what really builds immunity over time and fortifies us and strengthens us. And so they're like, I call them the worker horse herbs of the world. They're like not noticed, you know, there's not big advertisements about fennel and, you know, for digestion and cinnamon and ginger and, but they in your meal, a little bit in your meal every day, it's like the worker horses. They just keep going. They just keep going. They just keep you moving forward. It's not like big dose, take two pills three times a day. No, it's getting a carminative into every meal, every day, as much as you can. That is the long-term proactive healthcare solution for so many of our problems.
Yep. And I think it's kind of something that we're just kind of finding out more about, isn't it? The whole microbiome and how much it has a big effect on our health and our well-being.
Yeah, I mean, we are suffering the effects of antibiotic medicine, overuse of antibiotic medicine. Every medical journal in the world has written about the antibiotic crisis and the gastrointestinal tract, the inflamed gastrointestinal tract crisis of how now we, you know, if you had a staph or sepsis or some, you know, really serious infection and you went to the hospital in 1990, you had a much better chance of their antibiotics being able to solve that for you than you do today, because we have overused the antibiotics. We've created, when you know, bugs, you know, bacteria are intelligent. They want to survive. They will survive the antibiotics and get stronger and stronger and stronger. And so then you have these super bugs that the antibiotics don't work for anymore. So we are suffering from generational biome disruption, antibiotic overuse. We're 3, 4, 5 generations in of overusing these medications over all the medications. Sometimes you need them, but a lot of times you don't. They're overprescribed and it disrupts your gut. It creates inflammation. It decreases your ability to digest your nutrition, and it weakens your immunity. Okay. So it just goes on. It's like, like I said, we're 3 or 4 generations in. And so we are really dealing with this massive dysregulation of our ability to absorb our nutrition and build immunity. And so that's why it's so important. Like what you're doing, the education that you're doing, Rox, is so powerful and so important for your community, because we have to get back to only using medications when we really need them and not relying on them for over-the-counter and all the things that we can take care of naturally with herbs, and leave the antibiotics and the drugs, you know, when we really need the big guns, right? Mm-hmm. And so stop destroying our gut, stop destroying our digestion, and let ourselves heal and save the drugs for when we really need them. And so kitchen medicine is all about that. You know, it's like if you have a little bit of an upset stomach, you can put more fennel into your food. Right? If you feel like you're starting to get like a runny nose or some kind of little bit of a cold, you can put more sage, rosemary, and thyme into your food. Right? So it's about just becoming, you know, one of the things I say is like, you know, now the hospitals prescribe ginger for upset stomach for chemotherapy. So chemotherapy patients that get really bad nausea, the doctors now prescribe ginger for that. It's like they do it, they prescribe it, but they didn't just start doing that. They did it because people became educated and empowered and started saying, hey, why, you know, we need ginger for this. And it was the people, the families, the moms becoming educated that started to push our medicine to provide this for us.
Yeah. And this is probably medicine that we've been actually using for centuries, that mom's wisdom and kitchen medicine before all the pharmaceuticals came in and kind of rocked everybody's ideas of everything.
Right. Yeah, the campaign of really devaluing old wives' tales and kitchen medicine and medicine in the home. See, the thing is that culture begins in the kitchen. Culture begins in the kitchen. How we eat, how we nourish, what we do, it's culture. And so having this herbal infused kitchen changes our health, changes what we talk about, changes how we feel, how we digest our food, our consciousness. And what it means is that the next generation, I don't know about you, but my lineage experienced a massive cultural disruption in terms of herbs and herbal medicine. It was completely wiped out. Like my great grandmothers were the last ones that had just like a little tiny bit left. Like they used a few herbal remedies, but my mom, my grandmother, and my great grandmothers all let it go because they were hammered by the pharmaceutical media, you know, like just trust the doctors, trust the pharmacists. And so it was lost. And so I had to start from scratch. I had never even heard the word holistic health until I was in my 20s. I know that sounds crazy now, but in the 1970s, 1980s, it's in here in my cultural lineage, it was completely lost. And so if that is true for your lineage, you don't want your children to have to start from scratch. You know, you don't, because the pharmaceutical, the ethers, the message is there, it's very strong still. Take this drug, you know, take this blue pill for your stomach ache, take this red pill for your headache, take this other pill for your birth control. You know, it's all those things disrupt our immunity and our gut health. And we have to really develop our, really nurture our kitchen culture again, so that we have an alternate body of knowledge flowing through our households.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm actually quite lucky as well, because my lineage is part Iranian, and there it's still, you know, herbal medicine is still a thing. So like, you know, something, I don't know, something happened, my grand would say something like, drink lots of melon juice, or that's the way to cure that illness. And so that was quite good.
Yeah. So do you know what she knows?
Bits and pieces.
Is she still alive?
She is. Yeah. But she's over there. But yeah.
Uh-huh. So her wisdom is thousands of years old.
Yeah.
Her wisdom is uninterrupted, was from her grandmother or great grandmother. It's a lineage of medicine that, you know, herbal medicine is not something you learn in one lifetime. It's generational medicine. It takes lifetimes to be able to really understand the body. And you're really lucky when you start out with somebody that's gone before. And so my students, when they're with me and they have an elder in their life that has that generational wisdom, I really put them on the task of finding out how they're going to learn that wisdom. Because what's happened is your generation, my generation, we drop the ball. Mm-hmm. We just let half of their information just go. And then, you know, 20 years later, like, God, I wish I would have listened better. I wish I would have written that down. I wish I would have caught that thread. You have to keep that weaving going. Otherwise, the tapestry unravels, and then you're only left with a few threads that you've got to figure out how to reweave again for your children. So if you have someone in your life that has that cloak, that has that ancestral wisdom and cloak of how to take care of everyday common ailments, that is like one of the greatest treasures that anybody could ever have. And so I tell my students, you go get that. You know what your grandmother knows.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah. So what's one, you know, what's one thread, what's one remedy from your family that you're like, oh, okay, I learned this from my grandmother. I understand this. I know this.
Well, putting dill onto eggs is a big thing for her. So when it's that thing of cutting through the fat and digesting the fat. So you'd always put dill on your eggs, fried eggs. That's like a big thing.
Yeah. Remember. You know how important that is? That seems like such a little thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, your liver has 600 different functions to help you, like, thinking well and everything, right? And eggs are fat. They're like hard to digest. And when you don't have that dill, then it puts all the pressure on your liver to process everything. And it can make your liver sluggish. It can give you a headache. And so having that dill on your eggs is preventive medicine and daily wellness care. She is so right. You should never eat eggs without a carminative, and her carminative is dill. So that is beautiful, beautiful information that I hope that your children are learning too.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting how that has, like, how we know that, how we found that out, and how it has been passed down.
Right. She learned that from probably two, who knows how many generations. Yeah. But the thing is it can be lost in one generation. All it takes is one generation going, oh, whatever, grandma. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. All the rolling of the eyes, and then it doesn't get passed on, and then it's lost. And then you have people like, you know, your kids, they get headaches because they can't digest the fat. That is kitchen medicine. Yeah. Putting dill on your eggs is your kitchen pharmacy. That's your kitchen apothecary that is remediating every meal, right? Because again, digestion takes up a lot of energy. And so she is remediating that meal so that you can be healthier that day. And so that is such a beautiful remedy.
And I guess as well, like all of these herbs, they've got the carminative, but they've also got a lot of kind of broad spectrum antimicrobial as well, don't they? Which kind of helps.
Yeah. You know, so you look at all the aromatics that are in your spice rack apothecary, rosemary, sage, thyme, you know, the green stuff. And then you've got the ginger, cinnamon, cardamom, cloves, all these hard dense. They all have broad spectrum antimicrobial. And that is, you know, that's for us, but it's also for the food, right? So that's why when you go to eat sushi, it's served with ginger. It's not just for flavor. The ginger kit, you know, is like specific for all the bugs and fish that can harm you. And that's why we do marinades. You know, I can remember my uncles, you know, marinating a lamb for Easter, for a spring celebration. And that lamb would be just wrapped in rosemary, right? And so nobody really ever talked about why. And so the kids and the grandkids, they still do it. They put a little rosemary, but they think it's for flavor. They don't understand that we wrapped our meats, that we marinated our foods in all these aromatic spices to, you know, keep away the bacteria, to keep pathogenic bacteria from developing. So it's not just the broad spectrum antimicrobial for us, but it's also for our food. Very important to really garnish carminative at every meal.
Yeah, especially with all the increase in, like, never mind about the antibiotics, but all the increase in, like, pesticides and everything as well. So we've got fighting against all this on many fronts, haven't we?
We are. And how did we get to this point? And how is it that we have so much poison in our food now? It's really, we have got to turn this around. And that's the thing, is like we already know packaged food is, you know, not that great for us. But the other thing that's really not good about packaged food, you know, it's spiced with chemicals. So there's no herbs and spices to help you digest it, right? So it's like, you've not only got the chemicals and the packaged food, but now there's no more paprika or no, you know, you look at like a lot of the older packaged foods and they had cumin and paprika and, you know, they had some herb in there too, but now that's just not even there. You know, so it's, you, like you said, you're getting hit from a lot of different angles. And that's why we have to come back to the kitchen, come back to, you know, where it is that we can nurture ourselves and take, you know, bring the earth back into our hearth, bring the fire back into our hearth, our hearth medicine. And, you know, how is it that we just sold out to feeding ourselves as drudgery, you know? And so it's like we bring the herbs, we come back to cooking whole foods, and that is our kitchen medicine.
Yeah. I suppose though, even like, I'm obviously the ideal is to come and cook everything from scratch. But I guess if you're kind of at a stage where you're having the packaged food, if you could just add in the spices and the herbs on top of that, you know, that's just it's a step, isn't it?
It is. And I say that all the time. If, you know, fine, eat that can of soup, fine, eat that to-go food, whatever. I mean, we do it. I don't cook from scratch every day, you know, and it's hard when you're alone. That's why it's really good to try to meal share. I've been part of meal shares in the neighborhood where, every Tuesday, somebody cooks a different meal and we share. And that just really makes a big difference trying to share your meal preparation. But yeah, if you're going to eat any of the stuff that's not, doesn't have carminatives, add your carminatives. That's why you find black pepper everywhere. Mm-hmm. Black pepper is one of the most powerful carminatives. And so when you eat in a restaurant, that black pepper is your friend.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm wondering, do you think you could tell us your top kind of first aid kitchen remedies? Because obviously we've got stuff that we can use just topically first aid as well.
Right. There's, you know, yeah, your apothecary, your kitchen cabinet apothecary. So one thing is, again, fennel seed. If you've just eaten a meal and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't feel good, or I'm starting to get a headache, or you start to just not feel good after, you know, so that food maybe wasn't the best food or something. You make some fennel seed tea and you drink warm fennel seed tea, and it will help everything that's going on with your digestive, you know, with all of that. And the other thing is, you know, you cut yourself and you're bleeding. Turmeric is a great hemostat. It stops bleeding. Right. So you're in the kitchen, you can use either turmeric or cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper can burn. So some people, you know, it's like, it's too much. But I've been in someone's kitchen before where they cut themselves and they didn't have turmeric and we used cayenne pepper, and it definitely stops the bleeding, you know, very quickly and disinfects the wound. But you can do that with turmeric also. So those are two, you know, really common things. You cut yourself in the kitchen, or you have an upset stomach. And that those two herbs are really, really great first aid.
Yeah, they're really handy to know as well. So I wonder if you could just tell people about the courses that you offer and where people can find out about them.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Rox. I know that you've taken a couple classes, and what I really try to do is start from the beginning, start simple, start with what you have on hand. That's what we do with myherbalkitchen.com. And then the thing is that even people that have been doing herbs for a long time really love my classes, because since I've been teaching for over 30 years, I have, and like in my book, The Herbal Kitchen, I literally have hundreds of not just new recipes, but recipes that we've been making for over 20 years, like time-tested recipes. So many herbal books out there, they create the recipes for the book. And so this, you know, my book, The Herbal Kitchen, and the recipes that you get from me over at CammieMcBride.com, they are time-tested. It's like kid-tested. Like I have enough time seeing what families will actually do, what kids will actually take and eat. And so I really try to come from there. And so like I just had someone was a longtime clinical herbalist who told me that she loved my classes because she knew all the herbal medicine, but her family didn't. And my courses were like myherbalkitchen.com helped get her family on board. And that's what it's all about, is not just being the lone ranger in this, but getting your family and your community and creating and evolving and creating culture that is centered in herbal medicine and support from the earth and care for the plants.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so I know you're really you are on this path and just doing really great work. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. Well, thank you for talking to me. And it's been great sharing your wisdom.
It's been really a pleasure. I love what you're doing. And keep up the good work, Rox.
Thank you.